ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
बुद्धिर्बुद्धिमतामस्मि तेजस्तेजस्विनामहम्।
Oh, Samastuka, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent and the powers of all powerful men. So Krishna says, Buddhi Buddhimatam Asmi, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Wherever you find intelligence, understand that it is me, Krishna is saying. That means even the intelligence of the most famous atheistic scientists whom I get Nobel Prizes, that is the intelligence also comes from Krishna only. Krishna says that. Like Krishna says, sarva-sachaham rasa-nivishto matthaya smritir jnanam apohanam cha. From Krishna comes smriti, means remembrance, or apohanam, forgetfulness, as well as jnanam, or the intelligence, or the knowledge. So, one may observe sometimes that the atheist is able to defeat a devotee, or atheist is having a much more sharper penetrating intelligence. And one should never become bewildered, because the devotee easily understands that this kind of intelligence exhibited by this person actually comes from Krishna only. Krishna is empowering him to do this particular thing. That's why. Actually, when a scientist or somebody who is very intensely desiring to possess something, it is simply a desire exhibited by a living being. So Krishna fulfills that. As I heard that one scientist was very much trying to find out the benzene structure for several years, working very hard in the laboratory, but he could not arrive at it. But one day when he was sleeping in the night, he got a dream. And then he got up in the morning, he just drew the structure, whatever came in his mind, something like a picture. And then it happened to be what? The benzene structure. So with all the research, they could not find something which the Paramatma inspired and gave them within the heart of the scientist. Similarly, Gauss and many other scientists have admitted that most often we find that even after doing extensive research, what we are not able to arrive at, we are arriving at very easily. Simply, this part of the moment, it just comes and you write down something and then it happens to be true. Like the modern mathematicians, they took the notebook of the great mathematician Ramanujan. In that notebook they found there were so many derivations only with the answers. There were no steps given how we arrived at them. It is said in South, when Ramanuja used to be there in the school, he used to have a slate and he would jot down some derivations and formulae in that, and then with his hand he would wipe off like this, wipe off and write down the next formula. But sometimes if he finds anything interesting, he would take it and put it in his notebook. So modern mathematicians are finding out that all the things that Ramanuja said are true, but they don't know how he arrived at them, but they know that what he has given is correct. So how did it come? How did Ramanuja put down such mathematical formulae which are even difficult for the modern mathematician to derive? So, Lord says here, Buddha Buddhi Matamasmi, and the intelligence of the intelligent. Shakuntala saving and multiplying such 20 digit by 20 digit numbers. She herself doesn't know. She don't know where is she getting the ability to do this. You ask her. She said in one of the interviews, she says, I myself don't know. Somebody from within is giving me the answer. Similarly, great musicians say, I don't know how I am able to compose this kind of music. There is an Elayaraja in South India. One day, God knows how he gets this kind of tunes. Such wonderful tunes he gets from his mouth. Nobody teaches him. He never went for any music classes. But he comes out with such wonderful melodies, which are every melody that comes out of his throat and put into composing music is appreciated by the whole world. Very famous composer of music. He says, I don't know how. Actually, I had a similar experience when I learned Kartar for the first time. Nobody taught me. Nobody taught me how to play this. But one fine morning, just I took Kartar and started coming out like this. So, many people have this experience if you ask them. People who do artists, who draw pictures, those who play karta, those who play mridangam, others who play harmonium, or those people who are very good in mathematics or physics and things like that, they themselves do not know how are they able to do that. All the world will appreciate them so much. They don't know how it's coming. So these talents are actually given by Krishna. Buddhi-buddhi-matamasne. You see how Digvijay Pandit Kesha Kashmiri, when he came to Navadvipa, he was defeated by Nimaya Pandit. So in the night, when he was sleeping, he was pitifully crying, but nobody has till now defeated me. For the first time I became defeated by the small boy Nimaya Pandit. And Saraswati came in his dream and told him, told this Digvijay Pandit, "You fool, you don't understand. The one who defeated you is my lord. He is my lord also. You are very proud that I am dancing in your tongue. But you don't know that Saraswati told him that till now I have been empowering you, but today you have been defeated by whom? The Lord himself. You should feel so happy about that. So you go back to the Lord, who was appearing in the form of Nimaya Pandit, and Parvati thinks, and seek forgiveness. She told us. So in this way, if somebody is empowered by Vak Shakti, ability to speak or ability to sing, and ability to interpret things, view from different angles, all these abilities are actually coming from Krishna only. One should never unnecessarily become proud. So this is buddhi, buddhir buddhi matamasmi. So there are so many inventions all around the world, thousands and thousands of them. The talent for inventing all these things originally comes from Krishna only. So not only the buddhi, Krishna says even tejas, prowess. Tejas, tejas, vinamaha. Even the tejas also, the prowess also comes from me. Towards the end of this Hiranyakashipu, there was a very nice discussion between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. So Prahlad, when he went to school, he was supposed to be taught politics and economics by his teacher Chanda and Amaraka. So they were teaching all the children, but Prahlad was not at all interested in that. Very shortly, we are going to celebrate Narasimha Chaturdashi in Pune on Sunday. So very auspicious to speak about it now. So Prahlad, although he attended the class, his mind was completely stuck in remembering the Supreme Lord. Always, even during the class. He told the teachers that my mind is becoming attracted to Vishnu, exactly like a magnet becoming attracted to, like a iron filings becoming attracted to magnet. What can I do? In the interval period, when the teachers would be away, Prahlad Maharaj would gather all his friends and give them Krishna conscious teachings. And in this way, the demoniac children gave up all their nonsensical habits and they took to the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And they greatly glorified Prahlad. And they all turned into devotees. So when the teachers returned to school, they found all the children with arms raised, dancing and chanting. So in this way, they became very worried. They were thinking first, this Prahlad has to be transformed. But now, on the contrary, Prahlad has transformed everyone else. So they thought that we are going to be accused for the transformation of children. So before something dangerous happens from the side of the king, it is better go to the king and report to him. So they went to the king and told the king what has transpired in the ashram. Then king at once called for Prahlad, and he could not tolerate it anymore. Actually, Prahlad was a very small boy, such 5-6-year-old boy, very young boy. He was not at all to be sharply chastised. When he was called by the king, with his arms folded, in his own manner of being mild and gentle and soft-spoken, Prahlad came and stood in front of the king. The king shouted at him, "O most impudent one, disruptor of the family." And he told him that you are violating my power to rule you. So you are obstinate fool. Today I will send you to the court of Yamaraj. And this is the sharp words he addressed to Prahlad. And even if he was surprised in his mind, how this small boy is able to overpower me, and how is he so strong that I am not able to dominate him? This was a great surprise to him. So he directly asked Prahlad. He asked him, "When I become angry, all the demigods in all the three worlds, they tremble along with the planets. They all tremble when Hiranyakashipu becomes angry." But he said, "By what strength or what power you got this impudence? A rascal like you has got this impudence to rule over me and not allow me to dominate you." So Prahlad, hearing this, never got angry. He was very mild. He told Hiranyakashipu, "My dear king, the strength of mine of which you are asking is the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is the same source from which you are getting the strength. You told them. Whatever strength I am getting from, the same source is supplying you also the strength. And he said, originally, all the strength comes from Vishnu. In fact, not only your strength and my strength, but the strength of the demigods, even moving and non-moving beings, and all the living beings, whatever prowess they have, the prowess comes from Vishnu. He is actually the origin of all strength and all powers. In fact, Prabhupada went on to say that every living being, from minutest living being up to Brahma, they all are performing so many activities in this creation. They all are deriving power from Vishnu to act. Even the ability to live, that actually comes from Vishnu. Otherwise, the jiva cannot do anything. He is practically insignificant for all purposes. So in this way, in this discussion, the same point comes about. Tejas, Tejas, Vinamaha. Later on, when Prahlad spoke like this, later on the Lord appeared from the pillar as the national race, and he showed his anger and killed him in Hiranyakashipu. So we may sometimes tend to forget that the prowess that we have comes from Krishna. Like a king who is fighting in the battlefield, may forget that this power actually comes from Krishna only. Krishna only gives me the strength for a particular opulence. As I told you, any opulence for that matter. Like Arjuna was fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he was so famous for his Gandiva bow. When he would take his Gandiva bow and ring it, the whole array of all the soldiers on the other side, their hearts would get shattered. They would become so fearful. But the very same Arjuna, after all the Mahabharata war was over, when he was taking the queens of Dwaraka after Krishna passed away from this world, left the world, he was actually attacked by a group of infidel covered men with whom Arjuna could not fight. And at that time Arjuna said to himself, let's see, where is my power gone? I am so famous for Gandiva bow, but with this ordinary covered man I am not able to fight. So we all will get this realization in our life sometime or the other. But we had some power to do something, and another time Krishna withdraws that power. Like there was one devotee in our tune which I was singing just now in the beginning. It was sung by one famous devotee in our movement called Saindradasavo. So he was in Vrindavan. He has produced the Vrindavan Mellows cassette. So he has sung many wonderful tapes which became so world famous. The CDs are sold everywhere. Vrindavan Mellows is really like Vrindavan. When you hear those wonderful music, and they are so touching the heart. But at some time his throat got choked. Now he cannot sing. Now he is praying to Lord that he give me back my throat so that I can serve more. But he was telling, I got this realization. When it was there, so many thousands of people come to glorify you. When your throat is gone, nobody will look at you. In this way, Krishna may give us some power to do something, and then he may withdraw it later on. Many, many big people, big cricketers, big singers, big poets, they all exhibit the power for some time, which is actually supplied by Krishna. Buddhir Buddhi Matamasmi, Tejas Tejas Vinamaham. So if we have at all any talents in our life, we should always attribute it to Krishna, always give the credit to Krishna. If you have been giving the credit to Krishna, you are very safe. Because when it is taken away, we can tell others that I told you already, Krishna only gave me. So now he wanted it, he took it back. Isn't it? So you will not have to cut a sorry figure. If you say that I am the doer, you are appreciating my voice, so it's all I am the great person behind it. And then your voice goes away, people will look down upon you. So Krishna is saying this so that we can realize this point. Vandir Buddhimatamasmi, Tejas Tejas Nama. In the same way, when you look around you in this world, whenever you see any opulences, you see a beautiful boy or a beautiful girl or a beautiful child, or somebody possessing sharp intelligence, all these things when you see, at once you should be reminded of Krishna. So these tiny parts and parcels of Krishna are exhibiting such wonderful, great opulence. How much more Krishna must be attractive? How much more Krishna must be artistic? How much more he must be beautiful? How much more he must be intelligent? Krishna is very intelligent. In every one of his behavior, one of the qualities of Krishna is given how he behaves very intelligently in a very clever way, and his behavior is always very attractive to his devotees. Like once Krishna came to a house of Radharani and he batted the door. And Radharani asked him, what do you want? Krishna told her, he told her that I think I am Vasa. He used the word Vasa. Vasa has many meanings. Vasa means dress. Vasa means this also. Flowers also. Third one? Vasa means fragrance of flowers. Yeah, Vasa also means dress. So Krishna used the word Vasa in three different meanings, and he played with his devotees. So Krishna is famous for this kind of clever, being very clever. So somebody also, this world may be very clever, very intelligent, but if the intelligence is not used in Krishna's service, then it is useless. Like you are saying, how the scientists, they have the buddhi, they have the great intelligence, but they are misusing it for producing bombs and destroying humanity, for producing such devices which are taking man far away from nature and God. Like, you know, earlier, long ago, man did not have devices to cut trees properly. Nowadays they have machines to cut trees. They can cut trees in millions and turn them into paper and write pornographic books. So in this way, man's intelligence is being misused. But still devotee understands that all this actually intelligence comes from Krishna. The next verse. Next verse also has a connection, very similar. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraja vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamasmi bharatarshabha. I am the sense of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am such life which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. So Krishna says, balam balavatam saham. I am the strength of the strong. That means the blow that Mike Tyson gives to break somebody's teeth comes from Krishna. So people are so much attracted by that one blow. To see that one blow of Mike Tyson, thousands and practically millions of people come. They are watching in TV. So where is the strength coming from? Krishna. Krishna is saying, I am the strength of the strong. So everywhere, wherever you find strength, like there is strength in a lion, strength in a tiger. But here Krishna specifies, balam balavatam saham kama raga vivarjitam. Raga is attachment of desire, kama is passion or lust. So he is saying, I am the strength that is not misdirected. That means the strength of a kshatriya should be used for giving protection to the weak, weaker section of society. Namely the women, the children, or the old people, brahmanas and the cows. So his strength should be used for that. So it should not be misused. There is another verse that says, vidyam vibhadaya dharam madhaya shakti paresham haripinanaya. A man who is very strong, a man who is very educated, vidyam, he is very educated, but if he is misdirected, it becomes vivadaya. He uses the talent for vad vivad. Similarly, dhanam, one who has got wealth, madhaya, he becomes intoxicated by that wealth. If he is not properly directed. Shakti paresham paripidnaya. If one has strength, then what does he do? He tries to torture other people with his strength. Kalasya sadho vipriyatameta dhanaya jnanaya samrakshanaya. Kalasya sadho vipriyatameta. This is a tendency of a kala. Kala means a man who is devoid of qualities. Kalasya sadho vipriyatameta jnanaya dhanaya samrakshanaya. Actually it's meant for samrakshan. So Kshatriya strength is meant for protection of others. Like we see the example of Parikshit Maharaj. When he was walking in his kingdom, so many people came and glorified Parikshit that you are so fortunate to be born in this Pandava dynasty. And your forefathers, they were associates of Lord Krishna. Bhaktim Karoti Dipatish Charanaravindu. They glorified him. That Lord Krishna was serving them just like a servant or like a friend. He was like their family member. So in this way, Parikshit was very happy meeting a citizen. But at one point of time when he was walking, he came across a man who was dressed like a king, although he was a low-class Shudra. He was wearing a mukut and wearing a dress of a king. He was having a stick in his hand, also a sword, and he was beating a cow and a bull. The cow represents Mother Earth, and the bull represents Dharma. So he was beating them. As soon as Parikshit saw the scene, at once he took his sword. He was ready to sever the head of the Shudra. This is the meaning of a king. The king means he should give protection to the weak. A cow is also one of the five things which are gives protection. On the other hand, we will find examples of people who did not give protection. So at this point of time, one more thing comes to my mind. You know, Arjuna once was inside his palace and he was peaceful relaxing. One brahmana came running to him and standing outside the door and he shouted, what kind of rule is going on in our country? That before the father leaves his body, the son is living. Is there no king? Is there no kshatriya to give protection to my children? And this is started cursing the kingdom. When Arjuna heard it, he jumped up from his bed and he ran out and asked, "Who is that?" And he told the Brahmana, "Don't worry, nobody can take away your son. But Yamaraj comes. If Yamaraj has to touch your child, he has to cross my sword and go there. I will give protection." So this is the meaning of the king. Just imagine if there is some atrocity going on in the kingdom, the king is responsible. Atrocity even to the extent of akala mrityu. If there is akala mrityu, the king becomes responsible. Let's say a king would be taking 1/6 of the karma of the citizens. So king was very, very responsible. On the other hand, we find Kshatriyas who misused their power, like Duryodhana. Duryodhana was also Kshatriya, but he disrobed Draupadi in the middle of the sabha. So it's a misuse of one's power, Kama and Raja, because of wrong desire and because of passion. Similarly, Jayadratha also. There is a story of Jayadratha how once when he was going through the forest, later there is the king of Sindhu and Savira kingdoms. So once when he was passing in the forest, he was actually going to meet the king Shalva. He wanted to get married to the daughter of King Shalva. But while he was passing on his route, he was passing with many, many chariots and elephants and horses and foot soldiers and many people like that. But he came across a dense forest where he found a beautiful girl standing. A girl with dark beauty, with bluish curly hair, with sparkling eyes, standing in the midst of the garden. Seeing that, he became captivated by the beauty. At once he got him from his chariot, he stopped everyone, and he told his son Kotika, "Go there, go and find out, who is that girl? Is she an apsara? Or is she a daughter from God? Go and find out. At once I will take her with me. Let me get married to her." Then Kotika went there. Actually, they didn't know that she is married. Kotika, when he approached her, exactly like a jackal approaches a tigress, he went near her. Draupadi is very famous for her prosperity. So Draupadi was standing there, she looked at this man, and the way he approached, and Kotika asked her. Kotika, son of Jayadratha, told her that here is the king, Jayadratha, who is the king of Sindhu and Savira, and he is heading an army of 6,000 chariots and thousands of elephants and horses and other things. Now, my dear lady, he has gazed upon you. He is ready to marry you. What do you say? Who are you? He would like to know you. Then immediately Draupadi took hold of her cloth and covered her head and stepped backwards. And she said, "A woman is never supposed to speak to a man in private. But because you asked me, I will tell you an introduction. I am the daughter of King Drupada and I am the wife of the 5 great heroic Pandavas. Go and tell him." Saying this, Draupadi immediately went inside her house. But Jayadratha was such a fool that even after knowing that Draupadi is the wife of someone, still he got him from the chariot and he approached her. And he told his son, "I was actually going to marry the daughter of Shalva king, that beautiful daughter of Shalva. But now after having seen this beautiful Draupadi, all other women look like monkeys for me," he said. And Kotika told his father, "My dear father, I don't think she will voluntarily come with you. You have to take her by force." And Jayadratha said, "Never mind. Whatever it takes me to do, I will do." So he approached her. And he answered, "Oh, my dear beautiful lady, how is everything? Is everything going on well? How are your husband? What?" And he said, "Everything is going on well. How are your ministers? How are your army people? How are your ministers? How are everyone doing?" She also asked. And he told, "Just see that there is a pitcher of water kept there. You can take it for washing your feet and drinking. And if he's right there, my husband will come. They are away now. After they come, they will attend to you." But he said, "I have not come here for food and drink. My purpose is different. I have come to take you." So he told her, "Why are you staying with these wretched Pandavas? People who have lost their kingdom and lost their prosperity and living. They are forest dwellers. Why do you have to live with them? A woman who has got a good sense should not stay with such fallen so-called kings. Better you come with me, I will make you the queen of Sindhu and Savira. And in this way you can rule the vast kingdom." When Draupadi heard it, she became so furious. She shouted at him back, "How dare you speak about my husband like this? The Pandavas, they never gave up their prescribed duties. Nor have they ever wavered in a battle, even the celestials. That is the greatness. And you are such a great fool that you don't understand their morality. People who are truly wise, they will never criticize those who are following divorce penances. The Pandavas, just for the sake of upholding morality, they gave up the kingdom and they have become forest dwellers. But people who are truly wise will never criticize people. Only dogs will speak like that, she said. And she said, just like foolish child may try to stimulate a sleeping mountain lion to wake up the lion and pull the hair from its face. Similarly, you are trying to stimulate the Pandava hero. Once they come back, you will learn a good lesson. She told them, when Bhima comes back, you will have to flee for your life. When Arjuna comes back, you will not know which direction you have to run. So in this way, she spoke, of course, he tried to take Draupadi with him for some distance. Bhumiya was put in charge to take care of Draupadi. See, women were never kept alone. Bhumiya was a rishi. So he was kept in charge of taking care of Draupadi when they all had gone for hunting. So there was also seven maids at home. But Gama Rishi very strongly reprimanded him with strong words that these are not proper for a Kshatriya to do, to touch another man's wife. Because in the very times, as soon as a woman is wearing a bindi on her forehead, at once even a great Kshatriya will bow down and addressing her as a mother. This was a very standard. Nobody will want to take away another man's wife. But there are cases like we see of Ravana or Duryodhana or Jayadratha like this. These are very rare actually for someone to behave with another man's wife like this. Matra Paradarishu is a standard. One should treat other wife as a mother. Anyway, there will be a good lesson later on. If you want, you can read Mahabharata to know what happened to him. So in this way, Krishna says, Balam Balavatam Taham Kamadara Vivarjitam. It is devoid of passion. Also he says, Dharma Virudhu Bhuteshu Kamasmi Bharatarshava. I am the sex that is born of religious principles. Many people have a wrong notion that if one has to become religious, then one has to relinquish everything of this world and go to Himalayas or go to Vrindavan or Mayapur somewhere. One cannot actually be a part of society. But here Lord Krishna says, Dharma Virudhu Bhuteshu Kamasmi Bharatarshava. I am the sect that is born of religious principles. That means even in the Vedic religion, there is a permission given for sex, but it is called a sect born of religious principles. So this has to be very nicely understood, especially for those who are accepting the Grihastha order. It has to be very nicely understood what it actually means. See, one is getting married only for the sake of upholding religious principles and uniting to beget children who will also turn into devotees. Then such a marriage which is arranged by divine will is called as Dharma Viruddha Bhuteshu. That marriage is called as a divine marriage. Where a man and woman are not just coming together for the sake of sense enjoyment, exploiting and enjoying one another, but for religious principles. For example, Srinivas Acharya was born to very greatly devoted parents. When parents of Srinivas Acharya, they never thought about beginning a child at all in their life. One time they felt a very pressing desire in their heart that we have to have a child. Then they went and expressed their heart to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya told them that in your house a very great soul is going to be born, called Srinivas Acharya, and he will become a great preacher in the future. So he gave them blessings, and then they got the child, Srinivas Acharya. Similarly, we see how Shivananda Sen, when his wife was pregnant, Lord Chaitanya came to know that Shivananda Sen's wife was pregnant. And Shivananda Sen was such a great servant of the Vaishnavas. He was actually the organizer of all the yatras and programs like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very greatly loved him. When he came to know that his wife was pregnant, Lord Chaitanya gave a name to the child. Even when the child was in the womb, he gave the child name Puri. So he said, you name him as Puri, he told them. In this way, although Lord Chaitanya was a lion among sannyasis, how can he take interest in the household affairs of a grihastha? Although Shivananda Sen was a householder, externally, superficially, in the eyes of society, with respect to service to Vaishnavas, he was just like a sannyasi. He was completely dedicated with his body, mind and words. So for such a devotee, even his family becomes God's property. God takes interest even in such a person's family. So, Dharma Virudha Bhuteshu means man and woman should understand this principle. We have the four related principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. So there is no illicit sex, said, before marriage one should remain a brahmachari. Brahmachari doesn't mean only those who live in the ashram. Even those who are living outside, who are not yet married, should lead a pure celibate life. Unfortunately, in the modern times, the sex life has become a great propaganda, great thing for propaganda. Everywhere, wherever you turn around, so much things is going on about that. So many books, pornographic books, so many movies, and so many nasty things are being propagated. due to which boys and girls are becoming unfit. For a boy, before marriage, unless one is pure-hearted and safe, then one cannot become proper grihasthal at a later time. It is said in the Ayurveda that for a brahmachari, before marriage, unless one follows the brahmachari principles very strictly, then he cannot have confidence, determination. Actually, one part of brahmachari, one can have mountain-like determination, and one can have a great confidence, and one can have a pure heart, one can have behavior like a child, as long as one is brahmachari. So these are all said in the Ayurveda, actually. In our notes, I have also given the modern medical opinion also about brahmachari. You can see how doctors have conducted research and found out how one who follows this brahmachari principle strictly, he can have a cool head, he can have good qualities, he can have good behavior, he can have determination, confidence, all these good qualities for that. And after such a training, when one goes for grihasthasam, then one's mind and senses are controlled. And one uses them only to the extent they are required for use, otherwise they don't use it. So man and woman both should be equally interested in spiritual life and develop themselves more and more and give Krishna consciousness to others also. Use it, propagate more and more Krishna consciousness. So instead of developing more and more interest in family attachment, such a Krishna conscious grihastha, he wants to propagate Krishna consciousness more and more. See the colors of difference between these two types of families. One family is where a man makes the wife a deity of form. He wants to buy varieties of silk sarees. He wants to decorate her with best possible jewelry and necklaces in the entire world. He wants to work hard for that. The man completely devotes himself, a faithful servant, to his wife. On the other hand, a Krishna conscious devotee, he makes Krishna's deity, Radha Krishna's deity, at the center of his house. And he engages his wife also in the service of the deity. So this is the difference between Brahmadi and Grihastha. There is a gulf of difference between the two. That's why Lord says, such a family, kama asmi bharatarshada, Lord says that. So there are prescriptions that women have certain duties and man has other duties. Like women have to be chaste. It's one of the most expected qualities of a woman. In the Vedic times, the woman covered her head when they come in front of a man. And they are not very interested in showing their body to man. But in modern times, you see, they want to put the least amount of breasts and make a show to other men. And by doing that, naturally they will attract the attention of other men in society, maybe other wives, husbands. And then what will happen? When the hearts are polluted tomorrow, that could be problem between two families. You get the point? It can lead to some dangerous things. Like a man is already married, but he becomes charmed by somebody else's wife, and he wants to go behind her. So man's mind becomes polluted. So that's why the Vedic wives, a woman never endeavors to pollute the mind of man. Already there is enough pollution in everyone's mind. You don't have to aggravate it. So when they wear a dress, proper dress, and when they remain chaste, so woman should be chaste and man should be protective. Like that. Both ways. Man gives protection and woman remains chaste. It's a wonderful combination. Such a family can actually create very wonderful children. So there are examples for chastity. See the example of Gandhari. She was such a chaste woman, when she came to know that her husband is blind. At once she said, I will also blindfold myself. She blindfolded herself after the marriage. Who will do that? Such a courage. And at one time, she called all her 100 Kaurava sons and told them, that you all stand in front of me, I will open my eyes and I will impregnate you with tremendous strength before the battle. And because of her chastity, when she opened her eyes emanated such a great power which made her son's body like a vajra, like a thunderbolt, like that. This is the power of chastity. Same is power of brahmacharya also. As long as one practices proper brahmacharya or proper chastity, there is lot of power in that, immense power in that. On the other hand, we find how Jamadagini's wife, every day she used to go to the riverside and simply by touching the sand, at once the mud pot will come. That was her chastity. And because of that, she used to get a mud pot and fill up water with that, and she would bring it home. One day when she bowed down to make a pot, she saw in the water a beautiful Gandharva flying in the sky. And she became charmed by the handsome Gandharva in mind, just for a few moments. And then she immediately came back to her senses. And then she tried to make the pot, but the pot was not forming. And she was crying and waiting there for a long time. The Jamadagni understood from his divine sight. And he told his son, go and bring her. Of course, the story goes on after that. How Jamadagni told his sons to behead her for lack of chastity. No, none of his sons could do that. Who will be ready to behead a mother? But who did that? Paraswami did that. And then Father Joe was so pleased with Parisham, he told him, please ask me for some boons. What is the first boon you have? Please bring my mother back to life and make her forgetful that I cut her head off. Yes. And the second boon he asked, bring back all my brothers back, whom you have cursed to become ghosts. So they all came back to life. So the point is, the women were very chaste and chastity was very important for women like that. But a chaste woman can beget very wonderful children. So when a grihastha has to beget a child, it is not simply out of passion that a man and woman beget a child. In the modern times, sex is given such a prominence that nobody even knows that they are going to get a child. Simply man and woman want to enjoy, and in the course of it they come to know that there is going to be a child also after that. But in the Vedic times that's not the case. Vedic times they prepare for getting a child. There is a proper preparation for that. It's called Garbhadhan Sanskar. It's called as spiritual family planning, Garbhadhan Sanskar. Where a husband and woman, a man and woman, they plan, okay, now we can have a child. It's not that if you are married, you should immediately have a child. They plan, when should you have a child? Now it has become spiritually mature. So that the child that will come in our family will also be spiritually mature. So this, and Prabhupada said that ISKCON devotees should chant 50 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. 50 rounds, husband and wife should chant. And then when they unite, praying to Guru and Krishna, then the greatly divinely empowered soul may appear in their family. And then such a child can become a great devotee. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur begat the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. You can see what great childhood he got. So in this way, Garbhadhan Sanskar is there. And after that, when the child is born, there are so many sanskaras are there. Even when the child is in the mother's womb, there is 7th month, there is a sanskar. What do you call it? Human sanskar is there. Our child is born, there is Annaprashan, there is Namkaran, there is Mundan, so many sanskaras are there. There are 10 prominent sanskaras to be performed for every child. So, actual spiritual family planning means that how many children can we have? Do we want 2 children or 4 children? So one can have some number of children, but raise them very naturally. But in the modern times, the kind of family planning that man is talking about is not at all authorized in the Vedas. In the kind of family planning, Prabhupada used to condemn it very much, usage of contraceptives and things like that. So Prabhupada used to ask this question, you are saying that this is natural, then childbirth also is natural. How can you say this is natural but childbirth is not natural? If you say sex is natural, but if you are using these artificial items to avoid a child, but these artificial things are not grown on trees. If you say they are natural, they have to be grown on trees. But God is giving you, apples and oranges and grapes. Well, you have to do that also if you call that as natural. You understand this point? Papa is arguing that. So, actual meaning of, then one may ask, what do you mean? You mean to say that we can beget 20 children? Then how will we manage? That is why it is said, man and woman should be so nicely spiritually trained that they are not inclined to such a way of passionate living devoid of God consciousness. In God consciousness, it is possible for man and woman to be completely engrossed in service of Krishna. There is so much laborious spiritual activities to be done by man and woman. Man has to engage in preaching and engage in service in the temple. Woman has to cook Bhagavad varieties, bake varieties, dress varieties, clean the house. So many things are there. And once you become preachers, there is no end only for services, for unlimited services. So man and woman, if they become engrossed in services, they will forget their desire for self-gratification. Now one may ask, why one should not employ all these things for enjoyment? Why are these things condemned in the Vedic literature? Because when a child is begotten, at once, there is a huge responsibility that comes with it. As my child is born, if it is a girl child, you have to put some money in the bank. Because you have to have some dowry for the future. You are worried about that. Right from the day one when a girl child is born. Or even if it is a boy, nowadays you have to put some money in the bank because you may need some capitation fee. Nowadays I heard in medical colleges they take 10-20 lakhs nowadays. How many 15 lakhs? That is also like another dowry. Dowry for male children. Anyway, the point is, even from the Vedic viewpoint there are many responsibilities. You have to perform so many sanskaras, you have to raise the child carefully, you are afraid the child shouldn't get spoiled. You have to raise the child. For the first 15-20 years you have to really mold the character of the child. So now, if a man and woman feel that, if the child is gone, there are so many responsibilities, so let us not have a child, but we just have only enjoyment, then that is considered sinful. Because for the flickering small enjoyment that one gets, there is an equivalent amount of burden that comes. So one doesn't want to accept the negative side of it, the burden part of it, but only wants the enjoyment, then that is termed as sinful. That's what Krishna is saying, dharma aviruddho bhuteshu kamasmi bharatarshita. He is saying. If it has to be dharma aviruddha, if it has to be not against the religious principles, then it has to fulfill all the standards. I hope I covered. Yeah, not only there is a duty before begetting the child, when the child is born, the mother and father should become actually the guru of the child, guiding the child. I am very pleased to see sometimes when parents bring their children to temple. Now it is a holiday time now, summer vacation. So many parents have come and put their children in the temple. They came and told us, let him be in the temple, otherwise he will get ruined outside. Now it is summer vacation. Now all children are going to so many places and spoiling themselves. I would like to have our son in your temple. So they come and put the children. Very intelligent parents. So this is the duty of a parent, to see that the children are very nicely raised in spiritual life. The shastras say, Guru Dasa Syat, Sajanona Dasa Syat, Pita Dasa Syat, like that it says. We talk about Guru or Sajan or Pita or Pati, Jaivam. All these people have responsibility. What is it? To see that their dependents become Krishna conscious. Like a husband should see that his wife becomes Krishna conscious. If a man is marrying a girl who is not Krishna conscious, then it is his duty to make her Krishna conscious. Similarly, a father should give Krishna consciousness to a son and daughter. It's important. Like Rishabhadev called all the sons and made them sit together. And he gave them Saraswati, gave them wonderful advice. He told the my dear sons, all the other fathers in the world, you see, they all are telling their children to work hard, but I am not telling all of you to work hard. You don't have to simply work hard like the stool eaters who are working day and night simply for their sense gratification. Rather, I would suggest that you work hard, tapo devyam purkata yena sattvam. Shuddhiya kyasmat. The hard work that you do should help you in your purification. Then the hard work is meaningful. Otherwise, what is the use of simply beating the empty husk, which doesn't have any grains? If you are working hard in spiritual life, you are becoming purified. There is a meaning to it. Otherwise, what is the point in working hard to accumulate more and more? Something that is good for nothing, which is not going to come with you. So this is the meaning of a father, ideal father. We have one devotee here, Prashant Prabhu. His father is from Orissa. So he had joined us recently. So his father is a great devotee of Radha and Krishna there, worshipping Jagannath. So when he wanted to join us, I told you, write to your father, you have to get permission. He will not take you directly. So he wrote to his father, and the father wrote back a beautiful letter. He said, right from childhood, we all have been great devotees of Radha and Krishna, and we have been worshipping Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and I feel such a great joy in my heart that one of my sons wants to give his body, mind and words in the service of Krishna. So this kind of desire is very, very rare, and I recommend that if he can subdue his passions and utilize all his energies in service of Krishna, I will be the first person to be happiest man in the world. So please kindly accept him in your ashram, like that he has done that. So I am saying, Prabhupada used to say that every Indian family used to say that you should give one child to Krishna service. Of course, if you cannot give your child as a brahmachari, but at least one should become a proper grihastha, committed. Committed means fully for Lord Shiva, no other business. Fully engaged in Krishna service only. In Prabhupada's time and even now in Iskand, there are so many families working day and night for Krishna service, husband and wife. I was hearing examples of families who went to London, and also families with Kamala Krishna Goswami Maharaj was working. So in this way, by seeing these wonderful examples, grihastha can take inspiration. See, people have known the business, working hard, Krishna more and more and more, distributing books, propagating Krishna consciousness, getting more and more people to Krishna consciousness. By that, we are also saved. It is protection for us and protection for so many other people also. We are offering protection to them. Similarly, it is the duty of every grihastha to raise their child in a Krishna conscious way. We should never want our children not to become Krishna conscious. Like sometimes, if grihasthas are very materialistic, there are some grihasthas who want to be, who love the spiritual master, who want to take diksha from spiritual master, who want to serve him, but they want their children to, go to Australia, go to Japan, go to America, and they want them to go elsewhere. They feel that now it is not important for the children. They feel that no. They sometimes fear that son or daughter should not become too serious. Because generally you see that when somebody becomes too serious in Krishna consciousness, then they don't work hard in material life. They work hard in spiritual life. So they become very careful. They prevent. Actually, such prevention is also violent, according to Shastra. Actual meaning of violence is not just killing, to prevent someone from becoming serious in Krishna consciousness. So we should encourage, like I went home some time ago. So at home, my sisters were surrounding me, sisters and their husbands, they were not leaving me at all, asking so many questions. They had already read many Prabhupada books and they were not leaving me at all. And my father would come and go in between few times. Three, four times he approached and then he became restless. He came and said, enough of it. What is this? You are going on for a long time. Don't preach too much to them. They will have to become like you. I told them, they have their families, they won't become like me. But he said, of course they have their families, but they won't do hard work. No. They will be all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, they will be chanting. Because all of them to be peaceful. He was telling. So people are upright. That if children become too Krishna conscious, what will happen? Nothing will happen. Only one good thing will happen. They will deliver you. They will deliver you also. Like when Dhruva was about. Just see that your mother is already traveling in another fighting airplane ahead of you. Then God was very happy. In this way, if you help your children to become Krishna conscious, then they will actually deliver you. So this is the duty of a ideal grihastha. So dharma, viruddha, bhuteshu means there are many things involved in it. How wife should live, how husband should live, how should they raise the child, how should they beget a child. All these things are going into it. Hare Krishna. Many questions? No, he is asking, that sentence is misused, is it not Krishna? See, when Krishna says, I am the intelligence or the intelligent, when Krishna says, does that mean that Krishna is the intelligence or the less intelligent is not Krishna? What is that Krishna? But why Krishna says, I am the intelligent or intelligent? Because intelligent people are more prominent in society. So it is not a part of appreciating his saying like that. Similarly, same thing is also applicable here. Anybody else have any questions or comments? You know, then chant one time. That is to be performed for continuing the lineage. That was the purpose actually. The kings begot children. They may have 100 queens, but they begot children, a few children, only so that the kingdom may flourish and kingdom may continue. Because if a king doesn't have a child, he will be very worried. Because this king has no issues, then who will continue the kingdom? Because it was monarchy, it was not democracy. It was monarchy in those times. And monarchy was proven to be very successful. The son of a king becomes the next king. And if he is not qualified, then the Brahmanas would choose somebody else as a king like that. So, in some cases when there is no issue for a king, then the king may request his brother to procreate a child in his wife's womb. This was considered a religious principle at that time, in the Vedic times. So when the child is born again, the child will become the next king like that. But in Kali Yuga, such a practice is condemned. It is not appreciated. Devayana Sutapatyam, Kalopanta Vivar Bigat, it is said. Because in those times, sex was not a prominent thing. You know, somehow or other having an issue, who will continue the kingdom was considered very prominent. Whereas in Kali Yuga, sex is given so much unnecessary importance in life, so that has become the main thing in people's lives. So such a practice is against the Shastras. In the age of Kali Yuga. So example can be given in the Vedic times like Ambika and Ambalika. They both became widows because their husband, who is that? Vichitravirya. Vichitravirya had died. And Vichitravirya had a brother called Chitravrata, who also died in a battle with Gandharvas. So practically there was no one. And their mother was Satyavati. Now Satyavati and the two daughters, Ambika and Ambalika, only they were there. Now they didn't know how the Kuru dynasty is going to go on. Kuru dynasty is so famous, but they didn't have any issues. No man to continue. Now there was only one left out, who was it? Bhishma. So she called for Bhishma and requested him that you should beget children. And Bhishma said, no, I am a brahmachari. And she said, it is all right, that time I requested you to remain brahmachari when I got married with, who is that? Shantanu. So now I am telling you to beg that soul. No problem, now you can get married. Vishnu said, no, I have taken this vow, it's actually a Dhamma Vrita, Grihat Vrita, I cannot go back in that, he said. Then she requested her another son, Vyasri, to come and help her to beget children in the womb of Ambika and Sambalika. Vyasri is also son of Satyavati. So Vyasri came and beget children. Who were all they? Three of them, Dhritarashtra, Vidura and Pandu. The three were afterwards born. So this is considered a religious principle in the Vedic times. Because such a practice was not against the principle of Shastra for the sake of continuing the progeny which will take over the kingdom at the end of time. The third party is thoroughly condemned for Kali Yuga. Then Kali Yuga, everyone is for a super mentality. Third party is only meet wellness and karma more and more. So it's not appreciated. Everyone has got mala vision.